You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
Yes, a YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet, get an isolation with the linebacker. You tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. Look at this play where we're trying to get a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. Find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us, PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us, 865-658-5824. Joined alongside my partner in crime, Mr. Jacob the Beard up in Wisconsin. Jacob, how was your day, pal?
Man, it was good. Had the day off. I didn't do anything. It was great. I did nothing.
That's always a good day right there.
Wonderful.
About it. M. Smitty already in here stirring it up. He said, just saw Clayton's post on X, and apparently he woke up and chose violence against the, quote, draft experts, laughing emoji. I was telling Jacob offline, I'm like, listen, Jacob said, yeah, just three more days and everybody can shut up about it, right? It's over. I have no problem with people having opinions. I just have a problem with people thinking I want to hear their opinion 24/7. Like, I didn't ask for your opinion, but it's just the thing that irks me is you get into this part of the draft season. And I think people haven't gotten enough tension, you know, the draft experts, and they just start interjecting themselves constantly. It just gets annoying. So, again, as our saying always goes, fan how you want a fan, man. You know, if you got a way that you look at the draft, do it that way. Right. And don't let anybody else tell you how to look at it, because everybody's talking about the draft and nobody knows what's going to happen. Bill Belichick said that the other day. Nobody has a clue how the draft's going to fall. You just get your information right. And okay, look, this is how we're going to approach it. And you just focus on your controllables, right? That's the thing. Yeah. John Schmidt hit the nail on the head. He said, opinions are like rear ends. Everyone's got one. And I'll add that they all stink. So there you go. All right.
Remember, in 3 days, everybody will be, you know, eating a slice of humble pie, because like you talked about, it never works out the way that people think. And everybody that scoffs about, that'll never happen, they never take this guy, it's like, yeah, just go away.
Right. The threshold. It's funny because you got all the different factions. You got the threshold faction, right, where they're like, you know, well, there's no way the Packers will take a player because of, you know, insert this, right? Or you've got the folks who their board is the gospel. Right. You got the other folks that they're constantly wanting the Packers to trade up. You got the group that constantly wants them to trade back, and anything in between is wrong. Right. It's just it's funny. But again, though, I enjoy it. I've learned to hit that mute button and that block button. It's just again, you get the DMs from people trying to explain their expertise and why you're wrong. It's like, bro, I haven't even one thing I get complained on about is I don't have a firm stance on stuff, right? That's by choice. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know exactly how it's going to fall. I'm just not going to do it, man. And I hear people say, oh, you never really give an answer. I mean, I try to give you multiple angles of, hey, here's why this could be the case, here's why this could be the case, and then you draw your own conclusion, that type of thing. So anyway, I know many people are looking forward to the draft being over, Jacob. I'm not one of those people, man. I love this. I absolutely love it. This, to me, this is just as enjoyable as, you know, I don't want to say the regular season, but once your team's eliminated, you know, it's like, once the Packers get eliminated from the playoffs, it's like, man, I could care less about the rest of the playoffs. Get me to the draft, you know. It's just, to me, it's the pinnacle for sure. But
I've always been the same way. I mean, like, as much as I love football, and I love football, I don't watch football if the Packers aren't in it. Like you talked about, like, when I can't tell you honestly who won the Super Bowl the last 5 years, because after the Packers are out, I don't care. I just don't. And it's like, it's more painful for me to watch the game. I know you're a little different. You like studying everything about the game. So just for me emotionally, I turn off as soon as the Packers are off out of the, you know, the running. But I agree, man, this is now the third or fourth year that I've really taken the offseason very seriously and tried to stay up with everything, really looking at the draft. And I think I'm more excited for this draft. I'm equally as excited for the draft than I am for the opening day. Like, I think I'm right there. I can't wait until after we have actual picks that we can dive into for the next couple of weeks after the draft. It's going to be the funnest part of it. So,
yeah, absolutely, man. That's going to be, and, you know, some people put enough content out to say, I can see the Packers taking this one, I can see the Packers taking that one, just so they could say, I told you so. And it's like, bro, we're not going to mention the 13 other players that you said they were going to take that didn't. So,
Amelia wants to get let in. Apparently, we haven't let him in.
I need to stream email Clay. What are you? Are you no longer on Twitter, Emilio?
God.
My gosh, man, this dude is so high maintenance. I don't even know if I can send that link. Let me go to the Twitter group real quick. Let's see here. Give me just a second, guys. Bear with me. We got to get Emilio in here. Jacob found it somehow, some way, right? But
yeah, I honestly don't know how I did it.
it's I'm gonna repost it, all right, in our group on Twitter. All right, that's going to be the quickest way for me to send it. Bang. So it should be in there. All right. Just now sent the link. So Code Red, hey, Emilio's banging on the door. Oh, CM Smitty. No, I can't do it. Oh, no. All right. Anyway, we will go to this M. Smitty, though. He said, but those draft experts do it for a living, Clayton. Yes, they do. They sure do.
Hold on. Wait a Cody, minute. No. Oops, sorry, my bad. This one here.
Emilio, Eric Sutherland says, Emilio looks like the top that uses all electric mowing equipment. Oof. Out there going green. I love it, man. I love it. Cody says in the chat, that means you're open-minded, LOL. People trying to tell you that's a bad thing. Some people just like that argument, man. That's just a fact. That's the nature. Emilio,
are you all electric, Emilio?
What happened?
Are you all electric?
Dude, if we're talking Milwaukee tools, yeah. if we're talking mowing equipment, that is a far no. X-Mark.
Hilarious, dude. Let's go to Prince chat here real quick. Prince said, I like Goody saying he would like more picks, 13, maybe 14. He must be reading fans' wish lists for three offensive linemen, two safeties, two cornerbacks, two linebackers, etc. And you got to be careful too, Prince. I got excited when I heard it too, but it's Lions season, man. That's like, you know, I posted the clip of Goody talking about Cooper DeJean, right? And everybody gets excited because Cooper DeJean is kind of one of those fan favorites, right? And, he's mentioning Cooper DeJean. Part of you's got to step back and go, maybe he's trying to drive up the cost a little bit for Cooper DeJean right now, right? I mean, could be, might not be. Right, but what were you guys laughing about? Something we cannot read, right?
That is correct. Right. What I do like is I want Goody to like I said, I still want him to make a trade to get us another pick next year already. I already kind of want to start stacking up for next year's draft. We're gonna want more than seven picks in Green Bay, right? So I think he's gonna get double digits again. Maybe it'll end up at just 10, but somehow he's gonna have to finagle a trade back and let's get something from next year.
Yeah, and the thing that I did the other day with the monster mock that I did. I've actually got it right here. I'm going to pull it up real quick. I know it was hard for you guys to read. I'm going to read to you guys exactly what it was here, just so you can kind of get an idea. So, again, we took Kool-Aid McKinstry with the 25th pick. We took Tyler Newbern with the 41st pick. And, by the way, Daniel Jeremiah's top 150 came out, his final top 150, and he had Tyler Newbern in the 52 spot. So all those people that were saying he's going to go fourth round, oh, no, he won't be a second-round pick. He won't be a third-round pick. Daniel Jeremiah, I was waiting for him to drop his and him say like 80 or 90th. You know what I mean? That's what I was kind of expecting. The fact that he put him at 52 was like, all right, we're right there in the wheelhouse, man. So if you want the best safety in the draft, and again, we're not saying he's a day one superstar, right? But he's hands down the best safety in this draft, at least on paper. Again, you got to go out there and do it on Sunday. You're probably going to have to overpay a little bit. And what I mean by overpay is you're going to have to reach just a touch, because there's going to be a lot of other teams coming after him once you close in around that 40 mark, I would imagine. He may even go earlier than that. We don't know. But, again, Daniel Jeremiah had him at the 52 on his vertical board. So I traded back like four times, right, just to work the horizontal board, And then I end up trading back up later. So you end up getting Junior Colson with the 66th pick. We got Braylon Trice with the 91st pick. We got Dominic Pooney. Dominic Pooney is really starting to kind of – grab my attention a little bit. That might be the tackle that the Packers have their eyes on, him and Kyren Amagaji, depending on where he goes in the draft. I took Jeremiah Trotter Jr. at 96. Keep in mind, people are saying Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is a mock. The 33rd team is saying it. I think I heard Ross Tucker saying it the other day that, yes, he is considered a mock, even though he's a little bit shorter. So that's going to be really interesting there to see how much value is placed on Jeremiah Trotter Jr. You know what I need to do? I need to just pull up Daniel Jeremiah's top 152 so we can just kind of comb through it. You guys haven't seen it yet, have you?
I have not.
Okay, cool. I'm going to do that. That way we can have that to kind of look at here and kind of get everybody's take. So Jeremiah Trotter Jr. With the 96th pick took him. I got Tavondre Sweat at 107. I thought that was realistic. But then I looked at Daniel Jeremiah's vertical board earlier, Jacob. Guess where he's sitting? Like around the 117 spot, 110, somewhere around there. So that might be about how far he falls. Bo Limmer, I got him with 126, I think that is, 126 or 128. And then we went Audric Estime at 130. Audric Estime is about to drop on my board. That's the final thing I've got to adjust. He was not on Daniel Jeremiah's top 150, to the best of my knowledge. We'll comb through it and double check here in a second. And then, of course, with 236, I took Hayden Hatton, took a flyer on him because we talked about he might be one of those wide receiver gems in this year's draft. So, yeah, I just wanted to kind of reiterate that real quick. We got the PFF most recent mock as well. We'll hit on here in a second too. But, yeah, as far as the 13 to 14 picks, the whole reason I was showing that is because – you notice I traded back a bunch. I had a ton of picks, but the goal was to get back up and try to get as many of those players in, within the top 100 as I possibly could. So we ended up drafting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. What, 10? Yeah, 10 players. Is that right? 11 players. Is that what it is? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10. Yeah, 10 players we took. So I think we got 11 picks now. So you still come out with 10 picks, and many of them in the top 100, a good chunk of them in the top 50, according to my board. That's kind of, you know, I don't know. That's kind of the way I see it. Now, as far as trying to draft 13 or 14 people, Goody was pretty straightforward earlier talking about, hey, look, you know, you want competition. But, right. Yeah, anything you guys want to add to this trade back mock before we move on?
I was just thinking, like John says here in the comments, he goes I think he's referring to Andy Herman. He has a theory that they're going to trade back with Denver, try to get their first from next year. And there's a possibility that we could have the first and 32nd pick in Green Bay, which John's obviously
that would be sick.
Projecting a little bit there, but that's pretty awesome, I think, right?
Oh, yeah. That'd be wild. Yeah, they just traded for Zach Wilson. And again, that I don't think that's them going, Zach Wilson's our quarterback of the future, but I do think it's someone that Sean Payton's probably watched the college tape on before the Jets got a hold of him and absolutely ruined him. And probably going, you know what? We might be able to get something out of this guy. So who knows, man? You bring him in, maybe you let him start if you do draft a quarterback a little later in the first, whether it's Penix or, you know, I don't think McCarthy's going to be there. The McCarthy buzz to me, and I could be completely wrong. I'm trying to look back like on past drafts where buzz got created around a player right before the draft, and then lo and behold, they didn't end up going. You guys remember Will Levis was supposed to be like the top pick in the draft. mm-hmm. up until a few days before, right? And then he started to taper off. Another one that comes to mind was Malik Willis. There were people talking, you know, talking him up. Legit top five, top 10 pick. He falls out of the first.
Right. I'm wondering if that's KJ taken in the third even, right? So it's it's crazy how much fluctuation that they can have just by talking about it. And the fact that, no, I do think that, you know, there's something to that, Clayton, for sure. Yeah. But there's always one. There's always one or two out of everybody in this draft. There's going to be, you know, 10 hits in the first round, and then who knows beyond that, or else everybody would go first, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so M. Smitty's all about that, getting Colson and Trotter. Yeah, again, Colson is my best linebacker, even after adjusting everything from Daniel Jeremiah's top 150. I believe it still sits like that as well. I've got it. Like I said, I got to double check everything. I'm going to send that out to the Patreon group probably tonight or tomorrow. So you guys will have a PDF copy of my horizontal board. So you'll have that to use for the draft if you want to. We had a couple people in the Patreon group asking for that. So, and if you guys are interested in joining the Patreon group, you can find a link in the description of this video, or you can just go to Patreon and search Packer Fan Total Access. And anyone who is a member there of one of the three tiers will put you into the contest to win autographed memorabilia moving forward. It's just a way for us to give back to those who are supporting the stream. And not one of the draft, round one, we're going to be giving away this autographed Paul Hornung jersey. Got the accolades, the nickname, everything sewn on the back as well from the Golden Boy here. So anyone who is a Patreon member, like I said, and here's the thing too, if you're a YouTube member, not a subscriber, right? Like, we want you to subscribe to the channel. Don't, I think some people heard that and they unsubscribed to the channel. But if you are a YouTube member, obviously the channel is not monetized at the moment. Go ahead and cancel that membership and jump over to Patreon. Okay. And we'll make sure, like I said, everybody get that in before round one. Really, we need it the night before. So Wednesday should be the deadline. We'll get you guys on the pinky wheel and spin that thing. And like I said, whoever it lands on, we'll give it to give this autographed Paul Hornung jersey to them. So again, that's in the link in the description of the video. You will be able to find that link to Patreon. So appreciate y'all supporting us in that regard. So let's do this. We had Goody at the podium. Jacob, you were about to say something. Did you have something to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to see what you thought about this. My our guy Randy Clevers here says, heard we're trading up with Indy 15 for our 15th pick for our 25th and 58th. One, Randy, where'd you hear that? Two, what do you guys think about that? And who would be the guy that we're going up for that would justify that?
Yeah. Let's see. Let me see if I can find anything on that. Let me go Packers, Colts.
I would think that if that's the case, he's eyeballing probably a corner, right, Quinyon? If he wants just a dog.
Quinyon will be there at 15?
I can only hope. or he's eyeballing one of the tackles, you know.
That's what I was thinking.
Either way, he's probably just trying to line it up like we've talked about before. You got to call ahead of time. You got to figure out. Clayton, what'd you spend, 3 hours trying to do a horizontal mock draft?
Well, it was. And I'm telling you, I looked up and was like, when it was over, I wasn't like, gosh, that took forever. I was like, I can't believe I just wasted 3 hours doing it. I loved every second of it, mm-hmm. every second of it, man. Because it was just constantly – you're going to hear Goody talk here in a minute about trading back, and what you find is these clusters of players that you like. And you go, okay, I would be cool with any of those four players, right? So let's trade back a few picks, right? You trade back a few picks, lo and behold, those four players are still there. You trade back a few more picks. You keep picking up. Now, that's unrealistic. Of course, last year, Goody did that with Jaden Reed, if you guys will remember. That's exactly what he did, and he talked about it on this audio. Matter of fact, we'll start with that one. It's an audio just him talking about Jaden Reed, and he mentions Tucker Kraft. And the reason he mentions Tucker Kraft is because it sounded like when he traded back, you got to be ready to lose that player that's the best player on your board because someone may grab him when you trade back. But also, they were okay with taking Tucker Kraft there. So, lo and behold, one round later, they get Tucker Kraft anyway. So it just shows you how when you look at the horizontal board and you see these positions clustered up, right, you're like, okay, I would be fine with either of these. It might be three players. It might be seven players. Let's trade back, and we know we're still going to get kind of a pick of one of our top-tier talents. But let's do that. Let's go to Goody real quick. Let's see what he said about Jaden Reed trading back. I spliced a couple clips together. Hopefully it ain't too wonky, and hopefully y'all can hear it. Again, I try to amplify it as much as I can, but the press equipment there for the Packers is kind of booty cheeks.
Horrible.
You can hear the people asking the question just fine. Then it's like the part you want to hear, you can't, you know. So anyway, here we go.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Bill asked you about trades earlier. Curious from a process perspective, using last year's second round as an example, you take Luke at 42, you're sitting at 45. The Lions call, you move back to 48. You're sitting at 48, you move back to 50. In that time, Jaden Reed could have gone, right? And he ends up being your leading receiver. I'm curious, when you're in that kind of scenario, and you got guys that you, there might be guys that are all graded the same, but you might like one guy more. Are you taking a risk that you could lose out on the guy you like best? What's the, can you kind of explain how that works for you as you're going through it?
Yeah, whenever you trade back, you have to expect to lose, you know, the players that, you know, that are on the board that you might be willing to pick at that spot. It's just, that's part of it. I think it's why we, you know, we work so hard at getting the value right of the players on the board, is so that you can read it. And if you feel that it's strong and you can move back and still get, you know, someone you have the same kind of value on, you do. I think you got to be very careful of falling too in love with individual players. You know, I mean, that's just, I think you got to be careful of that. I mean, you have to be, I think, a little bit, you know, you have to think of these things not emotionally, but just kind of like, hey, we do a lot of work to try to get this value right. If the board is telling us we can move back, then we will, you know. So,
Jaden goes at 49, sucks, but you got another guy that you like, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, we took Luke Musgrave where we took him. We really liked Tucker. And couldn't believe he was still there in the third. But, you know, if we would have kept moving back, or, you know, if Jaden wouldn't have been there, we could have taken him and felt really good about it. So, because, you know, those guys were rated, you know, right there. So, that's why hopefully we were talking a little bit about it being boring. Hopefully you build the board and you go through this enough to where you have enough confidence in the board to follow it, you know. We're all human, and every scout in there has got favorite players up there. But at the same time, you know, we're trying to do what's best for the organization and the team, not enough for us individually. So,
all right. So, yeah. And you know, what he's talking about there is, like I said, when you trade back and you got an equal grade on a certain amount of players, right? And you've got a cluster of people that's sitting there. It sounded like, you know, Tucker Kraft was sitting there, Jaden Reed. They probably had a similar grade on them. And then Tucker ends up being on the board anyway. I think it's I love what he said, too. You got to be careful. Fall in love with the player. And basically, when Wildy asked that question, he's like, man, what if you hadn't got Jaden Reed? Goody's answer essentially is, I don't care. I'm not in love with the player. I'm in love with, all right, we had other players that were graded similarly, right? Now, I can see the rebuttal. The argument would be like, well, you would have really missed out on a, you know, he was your best receiver last year. I get that. But, you know, who's to say that the guy that you would have taken instead of him, if it hadn't been Tucker, had it been someone else, we don't know what his board looks like, right? We're not the Dallas Cowboys. We're not leaking out video where people are taking pictures of the board.
Right, or that Jaden Reed in a different scenario wouldn't have done what he did here, right? So it's, like Goody said, it's about getting that value that they have across the board at that time. And if it's, if you got the numbers game, play it.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we look at the horizontal board here real quick, and I know it's going to be small writing, we can zoom in if we need to. I just want to kind of show you guys and gals what we're talking about. I'm going to have to go a little bit further to get the whole thing here. And again, don't worry about not seeing the names right now. You can tell where there's names at, right? So one of the things that happened to me when I was doing that trade back mock was I found myself with a couple edge defenders that I liked that were available, and I kept running from them. You guys remember when we kept trading back from Eddie Lacy? Mm-hmm. Like, they traded back, he was still there. Traded back, he was still there. They finally took him. Lo and behold, he wins Rookie of the Year, if I remember correctly. So I got to the point in this draft right here where basically I had Pooney was the best tackle on the board for me. Absolutely loved him. Gotten went way early, and I was totally fine with that. They made the decision for me. Another one, too, was I had to make a decision between Cooper Beebe right here, and it was Bo Limmer. Now, notice Christian Haynes, Cooper Beebe, Bo Limmer, they all adjusted, right? They shifted around a bit because Daniel Jeremiah's information is completely out now, so we got that added to the board. That's why things shook up. So the other thing, too, that I was running into, I wanted to make sure I got Chris Jenkins because he was a great threshold fit, so I pulled the trigger on him, and Leonard Taylor kept hanging around. It was Leonard Taylor and Tavondre Sweat. Those two were on the board. I had Cooper Beebe, I had Bo Limmer. I can't remember which pick it was. So I had like a cluster of four or five players that I really liked. So I'm like, you know what? Let's trade back two picks. At least two have to be there, right? I traded back two more picks. They were all still there. I traded back two more picks. They were all still there. And then I used those picks that I picked up to trade back up later in the draft. That makes sense. So that's kind of how that fell into place. And that's what Goody's talking about when you're working the board. Again, if you're doing that vertically, you can see, Jacob, it'd be almost impossible to pull that off, wouldn't it? But when you get the horizontal board, you can see those clusters.
Yeah. I honestly think it's I don't know, man. I'm so excited for this cluster, like we've talked about there. That 88 and the 91, wasn't it, that that area? I just feel like there's so much talent. And we've talked about how I'm such a big trade back component. And I do question whether or not Goody, like we talked about, is he throwing up smoke signals? It's very rare that Goody actually tells you what he's thinking. So, like, that to me is a big red flag. It's like he's talking about DeGene. He's talking about how he wants 13, 14 picks. It's like he doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't just say that. To me, it's like, what are you doing, dude? You're playing poker. I think M. Smitty had a comment earlier. He goes, Goody says he wants 13 to 14 picks. He goes, that means we're trading up to like the top five.
Right. Yeah.
Giving away everything. We're going to draft a receiver. It's like, what's going on?
Trades up to get Joe Wall.
Right. Someone said that too in the Patreon. I can't remember who it is. Let me pull it up real quick. I want to give them a shout out. They actually mentioned that in the Patreon. Let's see. Doug said, hey, friends, laying out and calling my shot. Goody trading up big in all caps and taking alt. I will die on this hill. My gut says he's going to stabilize the line with this move. I just put the blown mind of like if he trade. Let's say, because some people have alt falling to like around 10. I just don't see it. Mm-hmm. On my board, he is tied for the best prospect in this draft. Like,
we'd have to trade with the Titans probably.
Yeah, right, right. The Titans are probably going to be – that's going to be the wheelhouse for who's going to take all. And at least that's what a lot of the mock drafts have suggested. Jacob actually sent me this PFF mock. You want to go ahead and hit it right now, Jacob?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, cool. So Jacob sent this over, and it says, as the 2024 NFL draft nears, our seven-round team mock draft series continues with the Green Bay Packers. So here is who they took, they being, I'm assuming, the PFF crew over there. They took Cooper DeGene at 25, okay? They took at 41 Kyren Amagaji, all right? And at 58, they took Junior Colson. Lock it up, man. I love it. At 88, they took Kalen Bullock. At 91, they took Sweet Baby Ray Davis. At 126, they took Bama edge defender Justin. Does anybody know how to say his name? Is it a boy, Jay? That's close enough.
I thought it was a boy.
What is it?
I thought it was a Boygie, but
a Boygie,
a Boygie.
Yeah, close enough. All right. At 169, they went cornerback Ryan Watts. At 202, they went tackle Caden Wallace. At 219, they went cornerback A.J. Woods. At 245, they went linebacker Trayvon Wallace. And then at 255, they went safety Josh Proctor. Now, what's wild about Trayvon Wallace, we've talked about this, right? Where some of us are looking up going, how in the world is he going to be available in the seventh round? The 33rd team had him like in the 60s, I believe, is what it was. Something like that, right? They had him pretty high. And again, it's not to say the 33rd team's correct and everybody else is wrong. It's just when you draw kind of these parallels between different sites, between different databases, I just don't see Trayvon Wallace being there in the seventh round. I don't. And he's also a perfect fit for the Packers as far as, like we said, you know, with some of the things that have happened in the past. The top 30 visit, right? He's a top 30 visit. He meets all of the thresholds for linebackers, according to PackerReport.com. He was also a Senior Bowl participant. And he is a mock, too, so keep that in mind. He could play mock anyway. So I've got him right now sitting in a spot on the horizontal board where he's worthy of like the 107th pick. If I were to go vertical board here, let's see where he's at right now. I've got him at 168 on the vertical board. So getting him at 245 to me seems like quite the stretch. Now, keep in mind, Daniel Jeremiah did in his final top 150 have him in the 96th spot too. So that would suggest he's probably going to be somewhere between 100 to 125 would be my guess. Now, do we want to take him at 126? That's the question. That might be a little too rich. I don't know. My board would say, hey, probably not if you look at it vertically. But, Jacob, what do you think about this? I know you were the one who sent this over to me, man. What sticks out to you about this this draft?
There are parts of this draft that I really like. I personally, I love the first five picks. I hate the last part of the draft. I think that if you took the first five picks, I'd be happy as a clam. But if
pretty damn happy right there, boys.
That's pretty happy. I don't, after pick 126 and out, I don't agree with basically any of them. Ryan Watts is an interesting prospect. I think he played some safety slash cornerback. I don't like that value. I don't think Trevin Wallace is going to be there past the third round, to be honest. That's my opinion. Yeah. I love Ray Davis. I love Kalen Bullock. I love Junior. I love Kieran. I like Cooper. So if that were, like I said, if that was the way that the first five picks played out, I'd be jumping around for joy. But that last part of the draft, I feel like we totally number two'd the bed.
Yeah. So for chat, man, I swear. Cooper Jean on my board, on my vertical board, he is in the 25 spot. So that is like right on the button. As far as Kyren Amagaji, I think that's – let's see where he's at because I had moved him around just a touch with the information that had dropped. Where is Kyren Amagaji now? Is he that low, really? I got to find him. It's going to drive me crazy. Let me see here real quick. Yeah, Kyren Amagaji's in the 47th spot. So getting him – getting the 47th best prospect according to my vertical board at 41. That's right there in the wheelhouse. Junior Colson, of course. I've got Junior Colson in the 44th spot. We get him at 58. That matches up right around that area, right? Kalen Bullock is going to be interesting.
Should have been DTD.
Right. Let's see. Kalen Bullock, where are you, sir? Kalen Bullock, I've got in the 109th spot. And we got him at 88. So that's a bit of a reach there for, according to my vertical board. If you looked at it horizontally, you could probably justify it. Ray Davis, I think Ray Davis, like I said, he came in on Daniel Jeremiah's top 150. I think he was 81st on Daniel Jeremiah's top 150. He's 89 on my board. 89, and we took him at 91. That's just spot on right there. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can find this cat. That I know Jake gave us the pronunciation just a second ago, but
Boygie.
Right, you're going to say it the rest of the night. All right, you have been nominated. So
I honestly think I think Goody's still got his eye on JC Latham from Alabama for sure.
Really?
After listening to it, man, it just all kind of lines up to that for some reason. I don't know. That's just a hot take.
Yeah, he's such a monster, man.
And he's a little bit more ready. I think it was DJ was saying it or something. A little bit more ready to go inside. He's not a 6'8" monster. He's a 6'6" monster, and you know he can play that. He's more ready to go right now, right this second. You know, Mims is still that project. All of those things. So,
yeah, for sure. Let me see. I want to pull up that pronunciation again. E Boyge B. Is that right? Or Eboigbe.
Eboigbe.
Eboigbe. All right. So Eboigbe is on my board at 129. We got him at 126. That's wild. That's spot
for you. You're doing good. You're doing real well with this board.
It's right there on it, man. It's pretty wild. Not bad for a red
match, right? What about Caden Wallace? I'm sure he probably played with Rashid. That'd be interesting to see.
Let me see if I can pull
it. I got Ryan Watts pulled up here. Ryan Watts is the first one that's really like, eh. On my board, Ryan Watts is sitting in the 263 spot. Does have a high RAS, though. So he was outside of Daniel Jeremiah's top 150, which is kind of understandable, taking him there at 169. So, again, I've got him at 263. That's the first one that really doesn't match up. Now let's go to Caden Wallace. Caden Wallace I've got in the 190 spot. They took him at 202, so not bad. Then you got A.J. Woods. I'm hoping one of these guys aren't on my board so I can A.J. Woods is not. Got to get him added to the board. So I don't have A.J. Woods on my board. And then Trayvon Wallace, of course, we talked about Trayvon Wallace. I got him in the 168 spot. Mm-hmm. We took him at 245. Again, I don't know if he'll be around that long. I think that's a little unrealistic. And then Josh Proctor. Let's look at Josh Proctor real quick.
Amelia, you know anything about Proctor? You know, Ohio State guy. He's, I think, prototypical size. You always wonder, like, that. I can see the Packers taking him just because of the fact that, like, you know, those Ohio State, you know, anytime you're with that big, I hate saying Big Ten because it's not even 10 anymore. It's
like, right.
Right.
Squad, isn't it?
Like, it's just weird to say. But anyways, he's going against top tier talent. And Josh Proctor, for him, Ohio State safety to fall into the seventh. I wonder what Jake thinks about him. I've read stuff that
No. Was it the seventh? Oh, okay. No, my fault. I thought it was the sixth. But for him on NFL Draft Buzz, they have his height 6'2", 199, hands 8'3", 4", arms 32, span 78. I mean, he doesn't have a great 40. So I could see why the 40's at 4.55. So it's, you know, right down the middle there, 56 percentile. His vertical is only a 32.5. That's 14th percentile. But he has long arm span.
I got Josh Proctor in the 204 spot. So
they have him overall ranked 199.
Do they? Okay.
Draft Buzz.
Got it. I'm glad you're cross-checking Draft Buzz because I've heard people say they like that site a lot, man.
They got all the numbers, man. You just click on player. They have everything you could want right there.
Heck yeah, yeah, man.
I like Draft Buzz a lot. It's good.
It's just, like you said, everything is running slow, man. It crashed on me when I was scrolling through it just because hammering it, we're running out of time.
Absolutely. Everybody's trying to get all that information as quick as they can. So, yeah, that's kind of how that mock draft fell there. Again, the only one that didn't really match up for me was, wasn't it Caden Wallace? That was the one. So Ryan Watts was Ryan Watts. So, I think the board, I'm happy with the way it's come together this year. I've put more info into it than I ever have before. So it's pretty cool that it's kind of balanced out real nice. And Daniel Jeremiah's top 150 today really cleaned my board up a lot. It's like some of the things I was going, it's a little high, that's a little low. It was just like it balanced it out perfect, man. Really, really like the way that looks. The big thing for me was I was waiting for what Jeremiah had to say about Tyler Noob and the fact he put him in the 52 spot. I was like, thank God I'm not losing my damn mind because I'm hearing people say fourth round and I'm like, and maybe he will go, right, that late. But it's just nice to know that Daniel Jeremiah is seeing the same thing I'm seeing there, saying, all right, right around a top 50 pick. If he had crushed the RAS, that dude, that's a whole different ball game there, man. The tape was there. The production was there anyway. So, Emilio, you got anything else you want to add real quick before we play another Goody clip here from the presser today?
I was just looking at Caden real quick. 6'5", 314, 10 3/4 hands, 34-inch arms, 8, 83 and 1A span. Dude ran a 5.15 40 with a 31 vertical and a 11.6 broad jump, 98th percentile. So that, and his 10-yard split was a 1.74, which 75th percentile. I don't mind the numbers at all. Looking at it like that, they have him overall ranked 133 and 28th at the position with a fifth round. So that's totally fine by me. I just haven't really taken a peek at him. I think it's the first time I've really looked at it.
Gotcha. Good stuff, man. Let's see here. What else we got? Never mind. All right, cool. I was going to pop a comment up there, but we're good, though. All right, so let's do this. Let's play a clip here from Goody. And this is Goody talking about Ted Thompson. Kind of, I put Ted's impact. He was asked about how Ted kind of taught them, you know, how to work the board and how to be patient and all that stuff. We got another clip about him specifically talking about being patient. But this is pretty cool to hear Goody kind of give his insight on some of the things he learned from Ted Thompson. So let's check it out.
Away, but what were those lessons from Ted that you have implemented for yourself now?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's about the work.
The question was, what are some of the things, the lessons that you may have learned from Ted that you've taken into, you know, taken on for yourself now?
It's about the process, you know, don't ignore the signs, know what you know and know what you don't know. You know, and sometimes when you don't know, you just got to pass, you know, on a particular player, you know. There's a lot. I mean, sometimes I think when you get within the process, particularly early on in February in the combat, you want to rush things. And he had a very good way of staying patient and allowing the process to lead you to the decision and the answers you're looking for. And I think we all, that was his nature. He was kind of a slow, you know, slow Texan that kind of just, you know, like most of us are a little bit more maybe aggressive. And so, like, I think we constantly in that room talk about that and making sure we're not moving too fast.
Love it. He's a slow Texan. I love that description of Ted Thompson, man. Just talking about, like, I love how he said you don't rush it, right? You kind of let the process play itself out because, even as people that, as fans that kind of keep up with the draft real close, when you go start building your board early, you don't have a lot of the information. You just want to draw the conclusion right there, right? And I think that's a good thing that our guy Daniel Jeremiah kind of waits to the last second. And I trust that he's not going to allow the underwear Olympics to sway his opinion too far, right? And that's one of the reasons why I put a lot of trust in his opinion. He said the video we show right as we enter draft season, we showed like a 10-minute video on Daniel Jeremiah just talking about the whole process. And that's what he said was like, the game tape is the most important thing, right? It's the most important thing. The combine, the measurables, all that, the combine and the pro days, they have their place, but the tape itself is what's most important. And I think it's cool that, like what Goody said there, man, just allowing things to kind of come to you there and not trying to – and I love what he said, Jacob. He said, you know what you know and know what you don't know, right? If you don't know, then you got to pass. If there's questions, you got to pass. You don't roll the dice, right? You go with the prospect that you do know about. So that triggered any thoughts for you, Jacob?
Yeah, I mean, it just shows that all of us sitting here thinking, again, that we're all experts and all this kind of stuff. It's like we have no idea the actual strategy, the actual stuff that's going in there. I mean, imagine and we've had the luxury if we sit here and we talk for an hour podcast when we're doing mock drafts, we take our time. Guys, they're on a clock. They got a time limit.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine the absolute sheer panic of like these are multi-million dollar decisions here that have to be decided in a span of minutes, sometimes seconds, because you know, if like you talked about, who knows the internal battle they're going on with each other, like right. I would again just to be a fly on the wall in any draft room. But to be in there with Goody and listening to like how he deliberates, I want to know who he's talking to, what his guys are bouncing back off of him, like how they're going back and forth. Like that would just be the most interesting conversations to eavesdrop in, I think, in my life. Like that would just be so cool to actually listen to how they get down to the nuts and bolts of like what's going to be deciding between like how did they take Quay? How did they take Devonta? You know what I mean? Like how did they make that decision? And did it come down to the wire? Was it like Kevin Costner in the movie? Were they like, yo, nobody went to his birthday party?
You think he slapped the table and said, well, y'all please be quiet and let me do my GD job here?
Exactly.
What do you think? Have you watched it yet this week?
I haven't, man.
I did.
I haven't yet.
I've been watching Caught in the Draft. Have you guys watched that?
No.
Bro, they're running like a marathon or whatever they've been doing on NFL Network. It goes back through the old drafts, and they do like documentary series on the specifics of the draft. It is phenomenal, man. Absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, though, Emil. Yeah,
No. I was the one wondering, because I haven't watched Draft Day in a little bit, so I'm gonna have to put it on the tube here, but. I like Goody because he's honest with us in the fact that, dude, you're putting all that work into this board. You're putting all the work into reviewing the players, watching the tape, having, you know, 10, 15, 20 people out scouting across the country, across the world sometimes. Like, that's why you did all this work up until this day. It's like you wrote that paper for this one class at the very end of the semester. This is what you turn it in, what's your grade going to be? And, there's no revisions. You can't go back. There's no do-overs. You just got to have a little faith. You got to have a little confidence. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. So I like that they do put that work in and that he's not afraid to, you know, pull the trigger on those things.
Yeah. Jake Javink. I want David blank, blank Putney just because I feel like it. Yeah, I'm going to have to watch it. I'm putting it on. As soon as we get done here, I'm going to finish up the board and I'm going to put it on for sure.
It's good.
It's a good movie, man. I love it. So we were kind of talking about the pressure, right, Jakey? You were talking about the pressure and they're on that clock and it's like, oh, man, you got to make a decision quick. Ironically, hearing Goody talk about being put in that situation, the main thing he talks about is you got to be patient. You got to be patient. How the hell can you be patient when that clock's ticking? You know what I'm saying? But let's play this clip real quick and what he talks about here as far as staying patient in the draft.
Hard is it to be disciplined like that? Obviously, you put in all the prep, you know what you want to do. But when you get in the moment, you've done this a long time. Is there ever any time the human element has crept in that you said, I should have stuck to our guns? Or how hard is it to actually go the whole draft and stick to that process?
Yeah, I mean, you're always hopeful there's guys up there and, you know, as the board, maybe you're 30 picks away and, you're hoping this guy falls there and then 3 picks later he's gone. I mean, it's just, there's some human nature to it because there's a lot of really good players you have to watch come off that board. I mean, we pick 25, right? You know, there's going to be 24 really good players that are going to go before we pick if we stay where we're at. So, yeah, I mean, it's, I think over time, it's less and less. You just, you understand the nature of it. And it's fun to watch the young scouts kind of, get really hopeful and
look at that grin.
Maybe it doesn't work out. Kind of to see them go through that learning curve,
That was my favorite comment of the entire press. It's like, it's fun to watch the young scouts, kind of get their hopes and dreams crushed because that guy learning curve. I love it because he knows he was that young scout, right? He's been there. He's been in those scouts' shoes. And those scouts want to get noticed. You want to be that guy that finds the next superstar, right? And I love hearing Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks talk about when they were scouts, they talk about red star players. Basically, leading up to the week of the draft, they would have all the scouts get together and just kind of button up the board at the last second, go, all right, who's your red star guy? Who's your red star guy? Meaning go up on the board and put a red star next to the guy that you think this is the guy in this draft that I'm like, I want to stand on the table for this dude and tell him why. And that's just more information that they're gathering. It might not be somebody who's worthy of the first overall pick. It might be somebody in the second round, but it's like, I'm telling you, this dude is going to be a stud, right? Mm-hmm. And explain why. I would love to just sit in on those conversations.
That did you heard about the Black Star too, Clayton? That at some point you got to make a decision. I don't think that this guy's going to be on my team. I don't think that this guy's going to make a difference for this team wherever we're heading. Not that you have a problem with him specifically, just it's not going to work for this team, this aspect right now.
Right. Jake Schvink in the chat says, so Goody is saying the young scouts are a little bit like us. I think he's saying Goody's saying that the young scouts are a lot like us.
Yeah.
Like, Jacob, do you get nervous watching the draft?
Nervous? I mean, yeah. Yeah, in a way. I mean, I do, I guess, just because, I don't know, man. More than anything, like, you guys know me, I'm more of an emotional fan. Like, I love watching the first round specifically because you watch these guys sitting there, like, just watching their lives flash before their eyes. Mm-hmm. And then it's even greater, like when you see those guys that have the great come up stories, you know, the guys that like went through so much adversity, the guys that like Ryan had talked about on his pod, where their mom, single mom or whatever it is, their dad died, whatever it is, they drive them 2 hours one way to get to an academy, like, you know, high school, so that they could get the recruits, to get the offers, to get that mm-hmm. to the next step. And then they went to college, and then they slaved away through college trying to do, you know, anything they could just to get drafted. And it's amazing to see, man. I mean, if you could throw, you know, like 50 pounds, 3 more inches on me, I wish I could have experienced the way that the draft, you know, especially that, I mean, how, speaking of me being nervous, imagine those guys sitting there in their suits with cameras on them, millions and millions of people watching them. And like, you have to try to be cool. You don't trip, don't fall over. You got to get the handshake right. You can't make Roger Goodell look like an idiot. You know, like, it's just all this stuff you got to think about. So
yeah, no doubt, man. I love it, man. I love everything about the draft. The thing that I like about the draft and the team building aspect is the same thing I love about the game of football. It's the same thing I love about sports in general. When you get that many people coming together for a common goal, like, that's what life's about, man. Like, sharing that, the ups and the downs with other human beings, and, you know, being willing to sacrifice parts of your life, time, energy, effort, all those things into helping the collective team. That's the stuff you're going to remember at the end of the day, man. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff that I just absolutely love, man. So what are we doing bashing the commission? What the hell's going on?
No, what I do, like you said, Clay, what I do like about that is, because the people in the stands, everybody out there, even us, you know, we're going to be screaming excited about the Packers. We're also going to be screaming no when somebody we love that gets taken by a team that we don't like, or, you know, in our division, you know, no, I don't want to see him go to the Bears. Like, I don't want to see that guy have that problem, you know. So I can't wait, man. It is also awesome that we've dove in so far this year, like, I, you know, more than I've ever done before. So it's going to be cool to follow in those later rounds, you know, kind of see where those guys go and then be able to track them going into the year sort of thing. Keep an eye out for them.
One of my favorite parts of the draft every year, and I know Jacob will absolutely love this, is as you get to like the last five picks of the draft, you're looking at the board, who's still best available. Let's go get those undrafted free agents. Let's go get them. Right. And I remember Andrew Brandt's story when he was in Green Bay. I know I told it on the pod before, I'll tell it again. And I'm just kind of, obviously paraphrasing, but I don't remember it word for word. But he said, basically, for anybody who don't know, like, undrafted free agents, sometimes they're – once you get to, like, the seventh round, the sixth or the seventh round, players almost want to be undrafted free agents because they want to be able to pick the situation they go to, right? But not only that, you got guys that are just – they're wanting an opportunity. They're just wanting any opportunity to try to break into the league. And essentially how it works is – during some of these visits and during the draft process, if you've got a player that you know you're not going to draft, you'll try to kind of negotiate with them a little bit early. Like, hey, look, if we don't draft you, we're interested in signing you as an undrafted free agent. How do you what do you think about this kind of signing bonus? And it could be a small amount, but all these teams are going to immediately call these undrafted players and try to sign them. And it's like a mini free agency is what it is. And Andrew Brandt said he called up this one guy and said, hey, you know, it's Andrew Brandt with the Green Bay Packers. We want to make you an offer. We want to sign you, you know, as an undrafted free agent. How does $1,000 sound? And they said that kid said, hold on just a second, sir. And he put the phone down and he came back and said, I've got $500. I can have the other $500 next week. And Andrew Brandt was like, no, we're going to give you $1,000 if you sign with us. Like, dude, it made me tear up because it's like, first of all, a player willing to pay, right? Just give me a chance. But second, you don't even have $1,000 in your account. Like, they're putting everything on this. And it's easy for us to kind of, as fans, sometimes look up and go, oh, they've got it made. They're making, you know, whatever it is, $600,000 a year, whatever the minimum is, you know. And you don't think of the fact that they've got to pack up, move across the country. They got to buy a house somewhere. It's not like they're just bankrolling a ton of money when you're those bottom of the roster guys, right? It's not the case. So I just think that stuff's really interesting. And also the practice squad guys as well. Mm-hmm. I just appreciate people who scrap to get where they're at, man. And Donald Driver is the first person that comes to mind for me, man. And again, I don't think Andrew Brandt said the name of that player, but I immediately thought of someone like Donald Driver. You know what I mean? I know he wasn't an undrafted free agent, but I just think of someone like that. Because Driver, if I remember correctly, didn't they live in a U-Haul or something, his family, for a little bit? Like, I think they were homeless for a short stint, if I remember correctly. Same thing with James Jones, too. I'm pretty sure they were on real rough times, too, when he got drafted. So just pretty pretty cool. Or not when he got drafted, but his upbringing. It's cool to see these guys have their dreams. Right. Kind of, yeah, it's awesome. So anything else you guys want to hit on, man? Again, I just wanted to kind of hear from Goody and see what he had to say. This is kind of the primer.
Are you going
to
pull up DJ's top 150?
Oh, yeah. Well, we at the 52-minute mark. We got time.
Just spin through them real fast. I haven't had a chance to look at them.
Absolutely, man. Let me get that pulled up right now. Let's see here. DJ top 150.
Jacob's got his Vice City shirt on. Just got done playing GTA.
I got a couple of them.
Looking like, what was it, Tommy Vercetti? What was his name? Is that what it was? How did I remember that from like 12 years ago? 22 years ago, whatever it was. Holy cow.
A long time.
Yeah, long, long time. All right, let me see if I can get this a little more readable here for you guys and gals. I usually try to keep this on a separate screen. Here we go. That's a little bit better, ain't it?
We don't need to spend long. I just kind of want to see the numbers.
Yeah, we'll just run through the players. We won't read the bios and all that good stuff. Although it's always a good read because Daniel Jeremiah breaks it down better than anyone. So,
and putting it in writing holds you accountable to it. You can't go back on your words.
Absolutely. So number one, Caleb Williams. Number two, Marvin Harrison Jr. Number three, Rome Odunze. Notice the dash. That means from the last time he updated his board or whatever, it didn't change. It'll show if they go up or down.
Right.
Malik Nabers, number four. Number five, Drake May. Number six, Jaden Daniels. Number seven, Brock Bowers. Number eight, Joe Alt. Number nine, Terrion Arnold, cornerback out of Alabama. Number 10, Felisi Fuaga from Oregon State, offensive tackle. He's in the 10 spot. At 11, you got Troy Fontana, Washington, offensive tackle. Number 12, you got Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo. He jumped one spot, and again, he is Daniel Jeremiah's top corner. We've been saying that for a couple of months now, that he's going to be our top corner on our board. I think he's the closest thing to a slam dunk great player at the cornerback position in this draft. I mean, he just looks like he can do it all.
Right.
Dallas Turner in the 13 spot, he dropped one spot. Jared Verse in the 14 spot, edge defender out of Florida State. He's sitting, like I said, in 14, stabilized there. You got Fashanu, Penn State offensive tackle. He's in the 15 spot. You got Latu, edge defender from UCLA in the 16 spot. He's a stud, man.
Mm-hmm.
You watch how fluid he is. Oh, my gosh.
He can bend. It's
wild.
You know, I feel like we don't have those kind of edge guys like Clay, you know, get 30 degrees angle and run the corner.
Yeah, Latu's a beast, man, no doubt about it. Brian Thomas Jr., LSU wide receiver. He's in the 17 spot. J.C. Latham, offensive tackle from Alabama. He's in the 18 spot. That's the one you were talking about. 18's kind of reachable, you know? That's
right. Reachable. I don't know. I think he's got his eye on him a little bit more than we're maybe talking about. But
no. Number 19, you got Byron Murphy. So there's your first defensive lineman on his board, a defensive tackle out of Texas. Number 20, you got J.J. McCarthy. So he likes J.J. McCarthy. In the 20 spot, Chop Robinson at 21. Graham, I'm going to read Chop Robinson real quick because part of me continues to go, can he play stack backer? It's probably not ideal, but would he be a good stack backer, like a Sam, you know?
Right. If
you play a lot of 4-3 over with the Sam on the line of scrimmage, I think it's worth the pick, but if you're going to play like San Francisco and the Jets do where they just got the three stack backers, probably not worth it. But it says Robinson is an extremely twitched up edge rusher with limited production. He has average size but is incredibly explosive. As a pass rusher, he has excellent get-off quickness, but it looks odd because of his short, choppy steps. He will cause more stress for offensive tackles when he learns how to lengthen his stride and gain ground. He flashes a nifty two-hand swipe maneuver and a push-pull move. He has some tightness and shows up when he gets to the top of his rush. His sack production is limited, but he was very disruptive in every game I studied. He was asked to drop into coverage on occasion and look comfortable in space. Against the run, he consistently generates knockback versus head up blockers, but he struggles versus angle blocks and double teams. He gets washed down the line too often. Overall, Robinson isn't a smooth, bendy type of player, but his mix of speed and power provides a lot of disruption. Again, he was asked to drop into coverage on occasion. That's not really selling me on it, but it said he looked comfortable in space doing it. Mm-hmm. Part of that's kind of got me like, I don't know.
Don't love that he gets washed down all the time too.
Right. Yeah. So in the 22 spot, he's rose two spots. You've got Graham Barton, interior offensive lineman from Duke. You notice he specifies interior offensive lineman there. Amarius Mims in the 23 spot, offensive tackle out of Georgia. In the 24 spot, Mr. Cooper DeGene. Does he not look like a white boy from the trailer park? Is it just,
he looks like, yeah.
I grew up with 13 other kids in the neighborhood. It looks just like Cooper.
He's got a slack jawed yokel look about
him. He had a jaw red man in when he was 6 years old. He was filling hubcaps in the trailer park. That's what he looks like. So anyway, he comes in the 24 spot. He rose one spot from the last time. Jerzon Newton jumped seven spots. Johnny Newton jumped seven spots on Daniel Jeremiah's board here. Don't know why he jumped seven, but again, that's a defensive tackle from Illinois. For the longest time, he was my best defensive lineman, and Byron Murphy edged him out at the last second, so he's now the best defensive lineman on my board. Tyler Gotton, offensive tackle from Oklahoma in the 26th spot. This is the guy that many people – you guys seen on my board, right? I've got him sitting somewhere around the 40 spot, so it'd be a bit of a reach, in my opinion, for that 25th pick. But when you look at it horizontally, it's like, okay – that makes a lot of sense. Top 30 visit, Senior Bowl participant, meets the athletic threshold that Packers like for offensive linemen. So if I had to put money on it and say, okay, if the board fell the way people were expecting it to and Tyler Gatton's there when they pick at 25, if I had to bet money, that would probably be the one I would pick just because of the history of the thresholds and stuff. Now, if someone – much higher than him on the board drops, that's a totally different ballgame, obviously. But that's kind of how I'm seeing that there. And the same thing with Trayvon Wallace, linebacker out of Kentucky. He meets all the thresholds, top 30 visit, Senior Bowl. Kind of feeling like if anybody's going to reach for Trayvon, it might be the Packers there. So 27, you got Adonai Mitchell. Most people call him A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas. He's in the 27 spot. 28th, you got Kool-Aid McKinstry. He jumped eight spots on Daniel Jeremiah's board. And then in the 29th spot, you got Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker out of Texas A&M. So he hands down has Edgerrin Cooper as the best linebacker. Greg Cosell, we talked about the other day on the pod. He says he's the best linebacker in the draft, right? Mm-hmm. So Greg Cosell, Daniel Jeremiah are like my two lead scouts when I'm putting my board together. And you're going, well, how the hell is he so low on your board? All the other numbers trumped it. But I'm telling you, you got to take into consideration what they're saying here. What they see with Edgerrin Cooper, and Greg Cosell specified it, he's not going to be the best player in year one, but he is the best linebacker in the draft. I know people go, that doesn't make any sense. Think Quay Walker. Mm-hmm. Quay Walker was not the highest graded player linebacker on the in that draft, but he definitely had the most upside because of the athletic ability, right? So I'm not saying I 100% subscribe to it, but I got to check my ego at the damn door. Greg Cosell says it. Daniel Jeremiah says it. My board's staying the same, but I'm looking at him going, hey, he's got to be the best backer in the draft. So, number 30, you got Ladd McConkey. Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. 31, you got Xavier Worthy, wide receiver out of Texas. 32, you got our boy Ennis Rakestraw Jr. He dropped four spots.
Timmy.
Yeah, that might be where Tim's at tonight. He's seen he dropped four spots. He's taking a trip out to Daniel Jeremiah. That might be why. So, yeah, Ennis Rakestraw Jr. in the 32 spot. Bo Nix at 33. Jackson Powers Johnson at 34. Michael Penix Jr. at 35. We want as many quarterbacks taken in the first round, boys.
Who the hell is Mel Kiper anyway?
Yeah, there he is. Look. Look at this guy right here. There's a guy.
Here's a guy.
All right, 36, you got Nate Wiggins. That's another one that I could see the Packers kind of going for.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about them reaching in the past. You know, according to Daniel Jeremiah, 25 would be a reach, but I could see him going after his athletic ability. Zach Frazier at 37, Braden Fisk at 38, Darius Robinson at 39, Ricky Pearsall at 40, Peyton Wilson at 41, Keon Coleman at 42, and there's my boy Junior Colson at 43. So – 41 sounds good for Junior Colson. I'd be all about it, boys.
Mm-hmm.
All about it. Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky. That's really, really interesting there. 44 spot. Marshawn Nealon, edge defender, we had a top 30 visit with. He's in the 45 spot. Mm-hmm. Max Melton, 46. Jordan Morgan, 47. Chris Jenkins, 48. Another one. He meets all the athletic thresholds for a defensive lineman there for the Packers. That's another name to kind of keep an eye on there. Xavier Leggett is one that's a lot higher than he was on my board. This helped push him up my board a touch. They've got Xavier Leggett, 49. And then Mike Singer is still sitting at 50. So we'll probably stop right there. Anything you guys, anybody you want me to go back to that caught your attention there, Amelia?
No, I think it's cool that so many of them got up that high. I mean, I know that, scroll back up here a little bit there. I know that we had been talking for a while about Nate Wiggins also being a lot earlier too. So the fact that DJ had him back a little bit, that kind of excites me. Hey, maybe we can get him. Because every time we've run a mock, I mean, he's almost never there. So we can give him Culver's, and he's a really fast dude. So why would Goody not be about that kind of athletic freak?
So you're not worried about his weight here? Because in the chat, they are.
Bro, I was the poster child for that comment right there.
Right.
And I went and watched the tape. That dude does not play thin. He is
like a beast.
He's physical as all get out. He's tall. He's in, when you think, okay, he doesn't have much weight, what concerns you about the weight?
Mm-hmm.
Immediately you think, well, he's going to get bullied by receivers. Wiggins is a tall, thin, and long cornerback with outstanding speed. He is effective in press coverage. He gets his hands on receivers, but he'll need to let go earlier at the next level. If anything, he's too physical is what he's saying.
Right.
So
right. And we're not drafting him to be the linebacker. Yeah, okay, if he doesn't, I mean, yeah, if he's the liability, fine. But we've been dealing with Ja not throwing the shoulder in half the season anyway, and everyone was yelling about that.
Ja catching strays.
Everyone was freaking out about that because Ja didn't throw his shoulder in. And like,
that was me. I'll be honest, that was me.
So I'm like, so there's either way, we're going to have a corner that's not going to tackle, right? So if that's the case, whatever, man. We have nine other dudes on the team that want
to took it down.
Thank you, Ja, for putting your 2 cents in. We've been missing Tim. But I mean, seriously, like if we're going to draft a box safety, if we're going to have a safety play in the box, if we're going to have three linebackers in the middle of the field, do we need this? Do we need the corner to come up and make every run stop?
Just here to tell you, Pack is back.
You heard it from a fan.
When you look back on last year, man, we had some awesome moments, bro. Like it went by so fast. The drops that we got, man. I mean, before the season even started, we had the drops.
65%.
65%. That's what we
65% of his trips, of his meals going into the season are going to be at Culver's. All right. The rest of them are going to be at Quick Trip, and we're fine. Clayton's lost it.
All right. Jacob, anybody you want to hit on before we wrap this big bear up?
Oh, man, I hit on enough dudes tonight. That came out wrong.
God almighty, where's it at? I'm sorry, I got to do it to you.
That's what she said.
Nah, we ain't going to give you one of these since that was so creepy.
Giggity.
Okay.
Wow.
That's fair.
All right, let's get out of here, man. We're over on time. Surprise, we're over on time. But I'm glad we got to dive into that a little bit, too. I got to button this board up and get that finished so I can get that out to the Patreon members. So,
shut up, Jake.
Oh, man, we've had some good ones.
There we go.
There it is.
I knew it, Jake.
Open the floodgates, Jacob. You might as well end the stream before the dumpster. Thank you.
I love it, man. It's funny. I haven't been on the drops in so long. I'm going through here going, man, we got some good stuff in here. Tim's the one always
good at it.
They're gold, dude. They're absolute gold. This is the best one, I'm telling you, though, man.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No, Tim is the best at drops because we've put up some of these chats that we have.
No, we can't do that.
Giggity.
That one definitely qualifies for a giggity. All right. We're out of here, guys. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us. Eric Sutherland has ruined the chat. He's ruined the night. What he does. So,
yeah. Oh my God,
Eric, you got the nastiest mind on the face of the damn earth. So I'm gonna hit you with one of these, Eric. Here's some advice for you, Eric.
Wash your hands, wash your butt, man. That's it. That's all.
That's it, dude. So, all right, we will be back tomorrow night, guys. We're closing in. Tomorrow is what, Tuesday? We're wake up tomorrow. We got 2 days, right? We're ready to roll. We got everything we need for the live draft broadcast. I'm excited about that. It's going to be an absolute blast. We're going to have you guys a live draft tracker on screen. We're also going to be able to pop up my horizontal board at any point. My man Emilio is going to be working PFF and Draft Buzz. Jacob's going to be handling the chat. I don't know how this is going to go. And Tim, of course, like I said, he'll be working the tracker for us. So we'll be able to – we're going to make it very, very interactive. I know sometimes you find yourself watching the draft and it's just kind of like, okay, this is dragging on. We're going to have a good time with it. And about halfway through the first round, we're going to give away that autographed Paul Hornung jersey as well. So,
and then at the end of the
first round, you got anything you want? What's that?
I said, and at the end of the first round, Goody's going to trade out and we're not going to take a pick in the first day. And then we're all going to be spiraling.
That would be the perfect. To me, I would be like, thank God. I'm telling you, trade back, man. I'm all about trading back.
And then we would have a party Friday night and Saturday afternoon.
It's already going to be wild for the second and third round. Friday night's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Saturday afternoon too. We're set up. So if everything goes as planned, Emilio will be here for Friday night's festivities as well as Saturday. So we're going to make it fun. It's a grind, man, when you go rounds 4 through 7 for sure. So there you go. three sleeps till we watch the other teams pick. 4 sleeps till we pick.
Hey, I like it.
And then when we make that pick, we'll all be like this.
Who? Somehow still, yeah.
Yep. And then Goody will walk to the podium like this.
Who in the hell is Mel Kiper in a way?
Rest in peace, Bill Tobin. Thank you for that drop, sir. Gosh. All right, we're out. For those of you listening on the pod, thank you for making us a part of your day. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. Eric Sutherland, clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
Go, Pat, go.
Kiss. The power sweep. Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
We ask our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. The YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.